1420 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Stock indices have moved deep into the red at this hour. Why? CBS's Jason Brooks has that.
President Trump responded to China's tighter export restrictions on rare earth metals by threatening massive tariff hikes on Chinese goods.
American troops are only being paid for work prior to October 1st because of the government shutdown. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
You've got millions of American families who will now have to figure out how to make their mortgage, how to cover their rent, pay the car note, keep food on the table.
The threatened mass firings of federal employees has begun as the shutdown enters day 10, with Republicans and Democrats locked in a stalemate. The 2025 Nobel Peace Prize has been awarded to Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado. The Nobel Committee called her just before the announcement.
I think it'll take me a lot longer to believe what I've just heard.
President Trump called Machado to say she deserves the award. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. An Outagamie County family has filed a lawsuit against Roblox, claiming a 5-year-old girl was a target of sexploitation while using the gaming platform. The family and child are remaining anonymous. Lisa Hale reports.
The Dolman Law Group filed the complaint this week, alleging the company, headquartered in California, is accountable for creating a, quote, breeding ground for predators. WBAY reports that attorneys claim male predators pretending to be children began grooming the girl and eventually convinced the child to send graphic images and videos of herself. The lawsuit filed on behalf of the Outagamie County family asks for unspecified monetary damages from Roblox for suffering life-altering injuries, including severe mental anguish and pain. Dolman Law Group has filed multiple lawsuits against Roblox on behalf of families across the United States, and multiple attorneys general in several states have either filed lawsuits or opened investigations against Roblox over child safety concerns.
A recent report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum found that the state's alcohol-induced death rate is declining, but still remains above pre-pandemic levels. According to the report, nearly 1,100 Wisconsin residents died due to alcohol-induced causes in 2024. The state's alcohol-induced mortality rate was 18.2 per 100,000 residents, significantly higher than the national average of 13.9. In 2019, the state's alcohol-induced mortality rate was 14.9 per 100,000 residents. I'm Melissa Kay, and you're listening to WFHR and WIRI News. You can find more news anytime and sign up for our newsletter on our website at WFHR.com.
Game 5 tomorrow night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the last time the Brewers faced Cubs pitcher Matthew Boyd, they knocked in 3 runs in the first inning. Last night, Boyd pitched into the 5th as the Cubs shut out the crew 6-0. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. Boyd was fantastic. He made pitches. How much money did they give him? $39 million. He earned it tonight. He was great.
So Game 5 is tomorrow night at 7:08 at American Family Field to decide who will advance to face the Dodgers for the National League pennant. NBA, the Bucks beat the Pistons 117-111 last night in preseason basketball in Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers face the Bengals Sunday afternoon, but kicker Brandon McManus injured his kicking leg at Wednesday's practice, a quad injury. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that's a major concern right now. So we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow. And, you know, we'll have a plan ready to go.
Now, McManus says he thinks he'll be okay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Look for sunny skies to develop for your Friday afternoon as a northerly wind develops. It'll be gusting up over 20, high temperatures in the mid-60s. In the overnight, clear skies, light winds, and upper 30s to lower 40s, mid-60s Saturday. It's 66 at our studios.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk about the new Civic Media sports show, Make the Call, with Parker Olson and Greg Gunderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr is in the house. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this TGIF Friday, October 10th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, on this Friday. It is homecoming Friday here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in Madison. We are at the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, the crossroads of State Street and Fairchild. A few clouds in the sky, a little rain moved through this part of Wisconsin earlier today, but our weather forecasting team says that is gone. Going to be a great UW homecoming parade down on Langdon and parts of State later on this afternoon and into tonight. If you're in the area, check it out. Be aware of a few road closures in downtown Madison because of it, but as always, a big family fun-friendly event. So University of Wisconsin Marching Band will be there. So get down there and check that out. Big show today. Can't wait. Lots going on. But at the bottom of this hour, somebody who I've really wanted to speak with for a long time. Appreciate CP lining this up. Mike Mankey, University of Wisconsin Badger public address announcer. If you've been to Camp Randall for a football game, you've heard him say things like, first and 10 Wisconsin. Ron Dane, other iconic calls, going to be here in studio. We love it when that happens. Going to be sitting right beside me in a great conversation with Mike Mankey, Badgers PA announcer, just after the bottom of this hour. Then coming up in hour number two, Ty Morrissey, producer and star of No Packers, No Life. And if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Thank you. What used to be Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. We got the poster right here beside me, courtesy of Sean Hamish, one of the other producers. It's a great poster. The Packers flag, the flag of Japan here, No Packers, No Life. The film is going to make its world debut. It was a part of the film festival here in Madison last year, but making its world premiere commercially at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha next Wednesday, a VIP event. Tickets valued at $100. By the way, it's still a few. If you want to buy them, be assured of a seat that night on Wednesday in Waukesha. Reception from 5:30 until 6:30, and the film will start off right around 7. A few tickets still remaining. You can go to nopackersnolife.com to check it out, buy tickets there. Or you can stick around to hour number two. We're going to give you a trivia question and call in. And we're going to give away two tickets to the VIP world premiere of No Packers, No Life in hour number two. And Ty Morrissey is going to be here and tell us more about the film. Also, what's worse,
on this homecoming weekend, losing to Iowa, who they play tomorrow, the Badgers do, or losing to Minnesota. How about that? Zomer, is a lot to get to today. How you doing?
Doing well, and absolutely a lot to get to today, but very exciting. And I can tell you, those of you listening, that Todd has been very excited about this particular show for a while.
I love Mike, and there's so much to Mike Mankey beyond, and not that his voice is not enough, it's fantastic, but I think you're really going to enjoy hearing the story behind the voice, behind the person, so looking forward to having Mike here at the bottom of this hour. Of course, the crew, the Brewers, came up a little short last night at Wrigley Field. Kind of surprised me. I said yesterday I thought the crew could get it done in five games. The Cubs won 6-0. And once again, it was the starting pitching of Milwaukee that got shook. Freddy Peralta on the mound last night for the crew simply didn't get her done. Had three or four runs against him. And then the Brewers kind of settled in, but just couldn't manufacture any run. They looked a little tight to me. They look, and give credit to the Cubs fans. Wrigley Field was rocking. I think they got the Brewers' heads a little bit, but have no fear. There was one game left. The winner advances to the National Championship Series, National League Championship Series, against the LA Dodgers, who beat Philadelphia last night. More on that weird game and how it ended last night. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But it'll be either the Brewers or the Cubs against the LA Dodgers in the NLCS. You'll hear the final game of the NLDS tomorrow night across many of these stations. Starting at 6:30 with the pregame show, 7:08 for the first pitch from AmFam Field. You can hear it on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward, Wisconsin. 6:30 pregame, first pitch just after 7 o'clock tomorrow night. I think the crew's going to get it done. I'm not just saying that. I think they're going to bear down here and get it done. Going to hear some cuts from last night's game in just a couple of minutes. But I wanted to start with this. Some news, actually, today. And what we've been talking about, this expansion of ICE in major Democratic cities, meaning voting-wise, and their mayors or governors are Democrats. Great story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel we didn't get to yesterday. Perhaps we'll touch on it today, that ICE is expanding its footprint in Milwaukee. But in Chicago, a judge for now has stopped ICE from deploying throughout the city, or not ICE, but pardon me, the National Guard from deploying throughout the city, but ICE is still there. And so nothing better to cut through the tension and make a point than with humor, in my opinion. And last night on Jimmy Kimmel Live on ABC, Democratic Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. Kimmel's having this thing where he does this sometimes with hashtags on social media. And so now Kimmel's latest one is show me your hellhole. Hashtag show me your hellhole. And he wants people to send in videos, you know, obviously sarcastically with humor. And like, how bad is it really in Chicago or Portland or Los Angeles? And so Pritzker and or his team, whoever is brilliant, had Pritzker send in a video to Jimmy Kimmel. He is in a flak jacket, basically, that ICE wears. Like he's protecting himself from gunfire or something. And he's on a very calm and beautiful part of downtown Chicago. And this is J.B. Pritzker reporting about war-torn Chicago.
I got a very special report filed by J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois.
This is J.B. Pritzker reporting from war-torn Chicago. As you can see, there's utter mayhem and chaos on the ground. It's quite disturbing. The Milwaukee Brewers have come in to attack our Chicago Cubs. We've seen people being forced to eat hot dogs with ketchup on them. And our deep dish pizza, well, has gone shallow. So it's a challenge to survive here in the city of Chicago, but there's no hellscape that I'd rather be in.
Well, thank you, Governor. And please know that you and the Cubs will be in our prayers. So that's how you do it. If you live in one of the war-ravaged communities the president has or is planning to occupy with troops, we want to see just how frightening it is. So make a video, post it to YouTube with the hashtag #ShowMeYourHellhole, and look for a message from us so we can share your nightmare with the world.
There you go, Jimmy Kimmel. I thought that was really well done. And credit Pritzker for taking a very serious situation, but making it in a humorous way to get your point across.
I definitely agree. And I think sometimes using humor in situations like that can come across as condescending, but this doesn't at all. It's just funny and lighthearted.
Yeah, but the point is that Trump keeps saying that, well, you know, I've got to send these National Guard people because, you know, it's terrible. And as I said, my stepbrother lives in Portland, Oregon. He's been there. He and his wife have lived there for over 10 years. He's like, Todd, it's like a block of some protests. The city's not, they had their marathon there, right? Chicago, they had the Cubs game last night. The Brewers game. But the Cubs clearly defended themselves well against the invasion of the Brewers. But we'll continue to follow this throughout the weekend and next week, certainly on the more serious side of this. See what happens if this judge's ruling holds by holding back National Guard forces in Chicago. But the point is, it's simply not needed. And somebody made the point this morning on radio or television that now you've got a couple of Republican governors, I think in Oklahoma, who are saying, look, this, you can't do this because we wouldn't want J.B. Pritzker to be sending Illinois National Guard troops to Oklahoma for something. As Trigvi Olson, our friend from the Lincoln Project, always says, stop and think. If this were happening to you in reverse, would you be okay with it? Other news today. I'm not seeing this talked about a lot, and I want to make sure that we touch on it. We'll expand more next week. Lost in all the clutter, there was a press conference either late yesterday afternoon or this morning in which Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth met with the Qatari government. Remember Qatar, who gave Donald Trump a $400 million plane? It is announced, well, I'll let Hegseth do it. Here is a stunning announcement about a foreign government being allowed to build a military base within the United States.
No one other than President Trump could have achieved the peace that what we believe will be a lasting peace in Gaza, and Qatar played a substantial role from the beginning, working with our folks to ensure that came about. So I want to thank you for that historic peace. We look forward to joining the president as that gets, it's already been delivered, but as that's formally signed as well. And I'm also proud that today we're announcing, we're signing a letter of acceptance to build a Qatari Emiri Air Force facility at the Mountain Home Air Base in Idaho. Location will be host a contingent of Qatari F-15s and pilots to enhance our combined training, increase lethality, interoperability. It's just another example of our partnership. And I hope you know, Your Excellency, that you can count on us.
Pete Hegseth confirming that for the first time that I'm aware of, a foreign government will be allowed to build a military base on U.S. soil. Now, this is concerning on a number of levels. Remember, it was the MAGA Republicans who went apoplectic. Not only that, they weren't very happy about it. They went apoplectic when Joe Biden was president and you had a balloon that passed over the United States. And oh, my goodness gracious, why didn't we shoot down this balloon from a foreign government? People are spying on us. Oh, my gosh, it was crazy. Here now, the same people that were up in arms about a balloon passing over the United States are allowing a foreign government, the Qatari government, to build a military flight base here on U.S. soil in Idaho. Now, not exactly, in my opinion, quote unquote, America first. When you think about what this does for the Qataris, in terms of allow them to have intelligence for the Arab community in the Middle East, what it allows them to do in terms of leverage for the U.S. government. We'll dig into this a little bit more for a couple minutes on the other side. And I'll tell you the links between the two governments. Also, a couple of Brewers cuts. And at the bottom of the hour, you're not going to want to miss it, Mike Mankey, the voice of the Badgers in terms of PA announcer, is going to be here in studio. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's that time of year where things go bump in the night. Ghosts and ghouls and goblins are spotted roaming the foggy late-night landscape, preparing for Halloween. Coming soon, there will be tricks and treats, costumes and fun. But remember, there's only one thing more scary and disturbing than vampires, witches, or even clowns. The most frightening thing of all, an old, rickety, dark and dirty porta-potty. Don't let the thought of a porta-potty frighten you. Crockett Septic has a huge inventory of porta potties available for events, parties, and promotions, and they're always clean and comfortable. Stay away from those nasty porta coffins and call Crockett Septic for a porta potty experience that won't scare the well, you know, out of you. From Rome to Rudolph in Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point and Plover, Crockett Septic can handle your porta potty needs, holding tanks and septic pumping too. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 22 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this TGIF Friday, October 10th, 2025, homecoming weekend. UW homecoming weekend here in Madison. Got my Motion W polo shirt on. Cannot wait. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, farm news with the great Pam Yonke. Another great Mike Mankey going to be sitting right beside me. Badgers PA announcer, the man behind the voice. So stay tuned for that. Right now, catching up on little news headlines, talking about what little talked about. I'm not sure why this isn't a bigger story, but Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth announcing an agreement with the Qatari government. By the way, they happened to give him a $400 million plane. That for the first time in American history, they're going to allow a foreign government to set up a military base in Idaho on U.S. soil, being claimed it's like a joint venture or whatever. I'm a little blown away. Here's a Matt in Richland Center listening on WRCE off the text line says, quote, if Obama or Biden had done that, Fox News would be screaming, Sharia law is here. The indoctrination has begun, unquote. I said that, you know, there was a big deal when Biden was president about a balloon flying across. And now the same people who are up in arms about that are seem to be fine with a military base on U.S. soil. Interesting to note that both Pam Bondi, Attorney General, and FBI Director Kash Patel took hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Qatari government between the two Trump terms to quote-unquote lobby. As my old professor at UW Platteville, Jack O'Neill, was fond of saying, All comes down to that, the dollar sign. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Charles, listening in Milwaukee on WAUK. Charles, thanks for calling in. What say you?
This administration is just crazy. It's crazy. Every day there's something crazy that comes out about this administration. I mean, I'm not surprised it was the same way when he was in the first time. But this is nuts. Are we for sale to the highest bidder?
Well, here,
was it the airplane that you give us this and we'll let you build a base
here's the thing, Gatsby, Charles, get your quick opinion. I want to do a Brewers cut here before we get out of here. But give me your quick opinion, Charles. Here's the thing. I don't care who you vote for, Republican, Democrat. I'm a big fan of veterans. Anybody who served this country is an American hero to me. And I would think this would be disturbing to people who put the uniform on and stood guard and protected our freedoms to allow any. I don't care whether it's Canada or you know, the UK, Japan. I just don't believe we should be letting foreign governments have military bases on this country's soil. What say you?
No, we shouldn't. It's a slap in the face to the military, men and women that served this country and the ones that died. There's no way that should be allowed. And like you said, this should be a way bigger story.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. They're flooding the zone. I can't think of the guy's name that said it, but they're flooding the zone, so things just go by the wayside.
Yeah.
There's no way this should be happening.
Appreciate the call, Charles. Have a great weekend. Watch some Brewers or Badgers. We'll kind of mellow out. But we'll continue to follow this over the weekend and come back to it on Monday. I want to play one Brewers clip here before the end of the hour. Again, the crew lost 6-0 last night to the Cubs. Game 5 tomorrow. You can hear it across many of our civic media stations here in Richland Center on WRCE, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. Christian Yelich, the leader of the crew, put things in perspective. Here's Yelich last night after the loss.
We were here during that series in August where they won a couple in a row, and you kind of said some things at that time about just staying calm and confident. This is totally different because it's the postseason, but are there similarities to the message you gave then?
I mean, there was no message. It's just, hey, we got one game that you got to win. So, regroup tomorrow on the off day and, be ready to go on Saturday, I think it is.
How deflating is it to find yourselves in this spot after being, 2-0 and needing one?
It's part of the story, man. Sometimes you're going to have to win some big games and you face some adversity in the postseason. You got to keep going. We play well at our own field. They took care of business here and go back, get ready for Saturday and make sure we play well.
What does it mean to have that game at home as opposed to here?
Yeah, I mean, we love playing at home, so it's great.
What did Boyd do better today than game one?
Well, he just made some good pitches. I felt like my at-bat, second and third, like, he just made some really good pitches. There's, first pitch was could have gone either way, I felt, and then kind of just battled, and that 2-2 pitch, just strike the ball sinker, just really good pitch, and, sometimes you got to tip your hat, and, he did really good today, and sometimes that happens.
That's Christian Yelich for the Brewers, leader in the clubhouse last night after the Cubs won 6-0 to force of Game 5 in Milwaukee. Pre-game show 6:30, first pitch just after 7 o'clock on many of our civic media stations. I love how calm Yelich is. Just, hey, it's what happens. And I would simply say, I'm watching, I make the mistake going on social media. Look, all these people hating on the crew today? Remember what Murphy said? Nobody gave these guys a chance to even compete for the Central, let alone have the best record in the National League, best record in baseball, best away record in baseball, competing for, won the Central Division, got the bye, one game away from winning the NLDS and going to possibly face the Dodgers in the NLCS. Nobody gave them a chance for this. They've already outperformed. And I'll say it again, the fact it's the who, as Murph said, the who in that clubhouse, that's why I love following. So, if you're salty today and irritated, get off the bandwagon. What did Barry say? Go boo in a bar.
Yeah.
Because you don't need that. I mean, have fun, live in the moment. It's fun. That's what athletics and sports is about. We're going to talk to somebody who really knows about athletics next, Mike Mankey. You've heard him say first and 10 Wisconsin. He's going to be sitting right next to us on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Pam Yonke, Midwest Farm Report is next. You're listening to the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection announced yesterday they were suspending all poultry shows, exhibitions, swap meets, and movement of poultry in four southern Wisconsin counties. Catch is, they didn't tell the poultry show organizers. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. More on that next.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Dan Schwant of the Beaver, Pigeon, and Bantam Club says he's mad. They had a show scheduled for this Saturday at the Jefferson County Fair Park and found out through friends that the show was canceled. He said he received no notification from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
I already started with the setup process. I already had emptied all the cooping out of the semi-trailer, and then all of a sudden a friend of mine messaged me and said, hey, did you see what the death cap did? And so that was news to me, and I was like, what? Because I checked my email, there was nothing there, and I called another one of our members and asked her, and she said she had received nothing either. So, and then it was just fun, saw it on the website there. And so we've had to cancel one of our previous events because of the AI, and they contacted me in advance and said, hey, I had to cancel. Or this time I had nothing.
That's a surprise. Dan Schwant, the secretary of the Beaver, Pigeon, and Bantam Club, they were having their annual fall swap on Saturday. But now the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection suspending all poultry shows, exhibitions, swap meets, and movement of poultry in Jefferson, Waukesha, Walworth, and Rock counties until the end of the calendar year. More at MidwestFarmReport.com.
From mealtime to snack time, pork has got you covered. Toss chops, rice, veggies, and seasonings in one pan for a weeknight flavor that gets everyone excited. Or add Italian sausage to soup for instant comfort food vibes. It's flavors worth sharing around the table because when pork's involved, every meal becomes the main event. For more crowd-pleasing recipes, visit TasteWhatPorkCanDo.com. This message brought to you by Wisconsin Pig Farmers and the Pork Checkoff.
And congratulations to Kurt Larson from Reedsburg. He's been selected as the new president of the Wisconsin Beef Council Board of Directors. Larson is the current president, CEO of the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association. He'll also act as the state's representative on the Federation of State Beef Councils. There's food news on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Look for sunny skies to develop for your Friday afternoon as a northerly wind develops. It'll be gusting up over 20, high temperatures in the mid-60s. In the overnight, clear skies, light winds, and upper 30s to lower 40s, mid-60s Saturday. It's 69 at our studios.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on. In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn. Badgers finish Michigan.
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them.
Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire talks about her proposals to provide better support for higher education in our state.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, October 10th, 2025. A little Steely Dan for you. Love it. Fantastic. Off the Spotify playlist of our next guest. If you've ever been to a Badger sporting event, in particular at Camp Randall Stadium, you've heard his voice. But have you ever talked to the guy himself? I have not until right now. Mike Mankey, the PA announcer for Badger Athletics, is here in studio. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time to come in.
It is my pleasure, Todd. I'm fired up and ready for tomorrow. Homecoming always gets some special juices going.
For those that don't know, listening across the state, it is homecoming week here in Madison. I went to Platteville because I did not have the academics to get into Madison, but both my godsons are graduates of UW-Madison, and I bleed Cardinal and White. Greg Gard was at Platteville when I was there together. He probably won't remember me anymore, but just we were talking about a little bit before the last segment about the Brewers. Pat Murphy has said it's the who with the crew this year in the locker room. Some of these guys are younger. They might not have the resume, but it's the who. Have you found the same thing in all your years with Badger Athletics? Some of the best teams, it's the who, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, the who sometimes is more than one person, but it's, I think, reflective of a culture. And, you know, I listened to your little soundbite a little bit ago about Kristen Yelich. And the calm, cool, collected nature of, they're facing a game five here. And it is all about the who and how they embody the culture of any team. And as far as Badger sports go, you can go look at all your successful seasons. And it's not just a great player. It's like a captain. It's someone who represents the team. That is the who.
Yeah. Before we get into some of the athletics, give people, if you're willing, a little peek behind it, because I think we hear your voice, those of us that go to a lot of Badger events. And tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you got into this gig.
So, yeah, it's a circuitous route. I can take you on a scenic route here. So I grew up in Racine. I graduated from Racine Horlick High School and decided my senior year that I was going to join the Army. So instead of coming right into college, that was my game plan initially. My dad had been an Army vet. My grandfather was in the Army. I had uncles, you know, galore that were in the Army and Navy and Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. And I decided, you know what, this is going to be a path that I'm going to take. It opened up, old GI Bill was still in place. Yep. Yep. So I joined the Army, went for a three-year hitch, two of which were in Germany, came back and was a 21-year-old freshman at the University of Wisconsin. And it's one of those things where the GI Bill back then, I could go pretty much anywhere I wanted to. I wanted to play baseball if I could in college. I played in high school. Baseball was my sport. Played in Germany, played in California when I was stationed out there. And thought that maybe I could play some ball in college. Yeah. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. But went 4 years, graduated in 84, and had more Army to do. I was commissioned through ROTC here at the UW, Army ROTC. So I gave them some more time after graduating and then came back in 85 and got a job, went to grad school for a whole semester and was hired during that semester and said, I guess I don't need any more schooling. I guess I'll take the gig. And I worked for an ad agency here in Madison called Towel Advertising. And 39 years later, I retired last year.
Wow.
From the same company. But the nice thing is for the last 10 years, I was a co-owner of the company.
Nice.
So we had a very successful decade, too. So, yeah, so I'm recently retired. Mm-hmm. I started announcing for the UW in 1992, and it was a fluke. I knew people I had done a little bit of radio, actually from 91 until 92. I was co-host on WTSO with a show with Diana Summers called Madison Nightline.
Sure.
I don't know if you recall it.
I used to be a listener to TSO back in the day.
Way back in the day. You know, they changed. They were country, then they were talk, then they were sports and talk and country. They kind of bounced back and forth. That was in the talk era of WTSO. But I was also involved in an improv comedy group called Comedy Sports for 10 years here on State Street. And one of my buddies was pinch hitting for the women's basketball PA announcer, who was a DJ at Triple M or something like that. And he said, hey, I can't do a gig. I can't do one of the games. How would you like to do women's basketball? I said, I love basketball. I've never done PA announcing at any level. I'm not afraid to be in front of a mic, but you got me. What do you do? Yeah. He said, I knew what PA announcers did. I grew up listening to Bob Betts at County Stadium and Jack Rain for the Badgers, but kind of heroes of mine, but I had never done it. And I showed up, I did it. They said, this is what you do. And after the game, they said, how'd you like to finish the season? Oh, and by the way, how'd you like to do some volleyball?
Wow.
So I've never even seen volleyball. It's okay. We'll show you what to do. So in 92, I finished up the women's basketball. I started doing volleyball, and I did both women's and basketball and volleyball for 4 or 5 seasons after that. Yeah. And then football came along. Jack Rain, God rest his soul, he passed away in early 1994 in the beginning of the men's basketball season. And so I took that season and started football the next year. So, and I did men's hockey. I forgot about that for about 4 seasons. So at one for like a year or two, I was doing women's basketball, volleyball, hockey. There wasn't a women's hockey. So hockey, football and men's basketball, 5 sports. And, I had to make a decision because the kids were coming along. Our family was growing and I did have a real job. So, I said, you know, how about if I limit it to football and men's basketball? But I'll pinch hit whenever you need me for any sport at any point. So I've continued to do volleyball, 2, 3, 4 matches. This year, a little bit more than normal. I've done 6 matches since that time. Bonnie does such a great job. I don't know if you know Bonnie Olson. She's had the gig for 25-plus years. But she has other commitments. So I do a handful of volleyball matches every year. But men's basketball and football have been the gig now for 30-plus years.
Absolutely incredible.
That's the short story right there.
We're talking with Mike Mankey, who is the Badger public address announcer for Badger Athletics. I need to refresh my StreamYard. There we go.
It just started working.
Oh, fantastic. See these technical difficulties. When Todd's in charge, it doesn't work out well, the technical difficulty side. Thank you, Zommers. Mike, talk to us a little bit about things that you've seen through the years. I mean, you got in at the start of the Barry Alvarez years, which I think some people kind of forget. The first couple weren't that great until 94. And then, of course, the Rose Bowl year and things take off. But what, of all your years being having literally a front row seat at sometimes in these events, what sticks out as a couple of memories from any sport?
Well, we'll take football. And like I said, my first season was 95. And that first game was actually against Colorado at Camp Randall as a nationally televised game, which was kind of rare for us. And like you said, in Barry's early years, I mean, wins were still kind of tough to come by. And that season, though, was a kind of a little bit of a turning of the corner. And then Dane came the next year. So he had Dane in 96, 97, 98, 99, 4 years of greatness.
Yeah.
And that really catapulted us to a next level. So some of the things that I've seen in this is season number 31 for football, is great running back after great running back after great running back. And actually tomorrow, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Monte Ball is being recognized.
I did not know that.
For being installed in the College Football Hall of Fame, and I think the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some hardware that he gets tomorrow. But he's just another example. I mean, I could name off a dozen of them. But Monte Ball will be recognized tomorrow, which is pretty cool. So for football, you know, our ground and pound game, our running game, has been something that's been a hallmark that I've really, really enjoyed. For basketball, you know, very similar. Started with, actually, Stu Jackson was the first coach that I called games for, right? And then Stan Van Gundy, and it took off from there with Coach Bennett, and Brad Soderberg, and then Bo, and now Greg. So I've seen a lot of different styles of ball as far as basketball goes. And again, somehow I forced gumped my way into a golden era of Wisconsin basketball and football. Yeah. And it's been an amazing ride.
Talk to us, Mike Mankey, a little bit about these iconic calls. First and 10, how soon did that come along after you started doing football? And Ron Dayne, where did that one come from?
So first and 10 Wisconsin, honestly, I think I've been saying that pretty much since day one. When I didn't know when the crowd started reacting to it, I paid close attention to what Jack Rain was doing because I had been doing women's basketball for a handful of years. Mm-hmm. And I just had listened to him anyway. After growing up listening to Bob Betts do Brewers games, I always loved that personality behind the microphone. You know, it was like the voice of God type of thing. So I listened to how they went about their business. And I tried to replicate certain things that Jack Rain did, but not, you know, identical to how he did them. So I don't think he did First and 10 Wisconsin, but that's something that just kind of grew. And then when the crowd started repeating it, and it became kind of a fun back and forth type of thing. So, gosh, I think I've been saying that for decades. The Ron Dayne thing was one of those where I'm a Badger fan, and I was a student here. Like I mentioned, I grew up a Badger football fan. Went to my first homecoming game. My homecoming 1971 was my first Badger game. Rufus Ferguson and his crew. So I've been a Badger football fan my whole life, but I didn't expect when Ron Dayne came on board that I would become a fan in the booth, as well as being just an information delivery system, which is what you're supposed to do when you're a PA guy. But you can have a little fun, too.
Sure.
And when Ron Dayne carried the ball, and when he'd get 10 yards, 15 yards, 20 yards, I'm like, I'm not in my seat. I'm standing. And I'm going, Ron Dayne to the 17-yard line. And then first and 10 was kind of, it just kind of came naturally. But that whole Ron Dayne thing was just part of the exuberance of being a fan that happened to have a microphone and 80,000 people listening to it. So it was a pretty cool gig.
Well, I tell you, it's pretty cool sitting next to you, hearing those words come out of your mouth. I mean, football wouldn't be football. I'm going tomorrow. Zomer and I are going tomorrow. It's just not the same thing if you weren't there doing those things. And it's just, you become part of the Badger experience.
I appreciate it. And like I say, I'm a lucky fan that somehow ended up in the press box. That's basically it.
A couple of minutes here before the first break, we're talking to Mike Mankey, Badger PA announcer. How do you when we get new players, obviously every year, how do you decide how you're going to say Brad Davidson on the basketball court or whoever on the what is it? Do you practice a few times in private or
not really? I do practice foreign born players' names just to make sure that I want their parents to be proud. Right. I don't want to screw anything up. So, but as far as rehearsing how that call is going to happen, you know, early on, I thought I needed to do that. And by early on, I mean 30 years ago. But then it became more of a grassroots, organic type of way of calling their name. Mm-hmm. I waited for the moment. So Brad Davison, you know, occurred, it was much like, Brad Davison for three! You know, it just kind of happened. I didn't have to rehearse it, you know, and if it sounded goofy or odd, maybe I'd say something different the next time, but I really didn't know what would come out of my mouth.
And, I love that. Just spontaneous, true passion.
Yeah, right. Like I said, it's, you know, just because I've been a fan for so long, it just kind of happens naturally. So that's
the
best way. But I
think that makes the difference, does it not? At least for me as a fan in the stands, knowing that you're passionate about these teams and these guys and gals, that's what makes the difference.
I bleed Cardinal and white, brother.
Absolutely. Come back more and talk more with Mike Mankey, voice of the Badgers and the PA side announcer. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. No more.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I- I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Marching band under the direction of former professor Mike Lecro. Well, he's still a professor, but not the director of the band anymore. With a little, if you want to be a Badger, come along with me. No better Badger to be talking with on a Friday of homecoming week than Mike Mankey, Badgers PA announcer, alum of Wisconsin. Thanks for your service, Mike, for ROTC and beyond. We are big on veterans here on this program. So,
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. It was a good gig. 17 years worth of Army duty.
And also, we don't really have time to get into it now, but we'll look at the stream. If you missed it during the commercial break, that's why you tune in between commercial breaks and the stream. One of the few people I know that met that knows where Hub City is.
Hub City! To all your listeners in beautiful downtown Hub City.
In Richland County. Yeah,
right. Fortunately, it doesn't have very positive memories for me.
I'm sorry to hear they were injured at a softball game.
I was injured. It was traumatic.
I'm sorry to hear that. I wanted to give you, I did a little research here. You have a really cool connection to Camp Randall. And that you had a family member that served there, I believe.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So we're talking in between, you know, we were talking a little bit about why I went in the Army, the fact that my dad had been, my grandfather had been, other family members. But when my family first came over from Germany, and settled in the Sheboygan and Manitowoc area. They came over from Germany in the 1800s, chiefly to escape revolution and war in Germany, only to have one of my great-great-great uncles volunteer for the Wisconsin infantry. And he was stationed at Camp Randall as a captain. And I got out of the Army as a captain, ironically. So I did not know that until I did some family genealogy work and almost fell off my chair when I discovered that back in 1864, wow, he was stationed here when it was an actual camp.
Right.
And, you know.
I just think it's incredible to have a relative who was stationed there in the Union Army, and now you're there every Saturday home game in that exact location.
I know.
Calling games.
It pinched me. It's really weird. And even in ROTC, so this is the early 80s,
yeah,
they had a firing range inside of Camp Randall, mm-hmm, albeit not, it wasn't very big.
Right.
It was like a long closet, yeah, basically. But that's where we trained, for our ROTC firing of M16. So anyway.
I'd be remiss, Mike Mankey, if I didn't at least ask you your opinion. I mean, you're not here representing the athletic department per se, but boy, been a tough year for Badger football fans. And I think a lot of people, when the change was made from, I was a big Paul Chris fan and was hoping that Jim Leonard, but I got all on board the Luke Fickell train early on. And boy, it's been tough to watch. And we've had Brady Ewing and we've had Joe Thomas on this show. And I think for those who played, they keep saying just the culture. And what's it like for you? You're not in the locker room per se, but what's this season been like for you and even the end of last year?
Well, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'm an optimist. I'm the half glass full guy when it comes, especially to Badger sports. It's been challenging for sure. The biggest challenges have been, especially last year, losing to Iowa the way we did and losing to Minnesota the way we did. The rivalry games are the ones that I think probably mean the most to me. That's why tomorrow is such an important game. So I don't know if tomorrow's a must-win game. Yes, I do. Tomorrow's a must-win game, and so is the Minnesota game. Those are two games like I really, really want to wear. So it's been kind of tough, but I keep hoping that we turn the corner and things start to gel. Again, injuries always play a role, but they do at every level. You look at the Packers.
Yeah.
Their injuries on their O-line have caused a little bit of havoc lately. Now, how do they lose against the Browns? And how do they tie the Cowboys?
Right.
I mean, it's so I know that they're kind of circling the wagons as well to a degree. But I think when it comes to just looking at how the landscape of college football is developing here, the last couple of years especially, depth becomes such a critical issue. And depth for us on the offensive line seems to be the thing that we're lacking most. The haves, the Ohio States, the Oregons, the Michigans, you name it, those are the teams that can throw enough money out there to have depth at their two deeps. We come from a slightly different landscape. So I think we've got to understand that it may take a little time, it may take a lot of money, but I would still, I don't like to hear fans say fire Fickell, mm-hmm, or boo the team when they come off the field. I understand why they're doing it. I really just don't like to hear that.
Yeah, I think especially the players. I mean, even though there's NIL now, I mean, those guys and gals, they're working their butts off. No, nobody's coming on those fields or on those courts trying to lose. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see it close up.
Absolutely. They're the last people that want to come off the field to that.
Right.
It's been a little chaotic. I mean, some, yeah, of the things we've seen on the sidelines and even the games have not been really torqued down, but hopefully tomorrow we turn the page.
1 minute left, Mike Mankey. What have I not asked you? You want people to know.
What have you not asked me? What I love about football Saturdays. What do you love about football Saturdays? Let me ask
days
you.
Like this, golden leaves, crisp, clean air, my UW hoodie on, and hanging out with family and friends.
And I do too. And I love night games on football Saturdays, right, where the sun is down and we'll have fireworks over Camp Randall. And then you can also hear my First and Ten Wisconsin reverberate off of all of the roofs of homes in the Monroe and Regent Street neighborhoods.
I've heard it before. We'll hear it again tomorrow. I can hear the game on many of our civic media stations. Pre-game show tomorrow starts at 4 o'clock with the kickoff at Camp Randall just after 6. Iowa visiting Wisconsin. Mike Mankey, thank you so much. Come on back soon. There's so many more things we'd love to talk about with you.
Todd, I'd be happy to.
Quickly, we're coming up next hour. We do a what's worse every day. Today's what's worse, losing to Iowa or losing to Minnesota?
They're both distasteful. In football, man. Losing to Minnesota is
totally agree. It's the axe. It's all about the axe, right?
Right. And PJ Fleck.
And Peach, the Flexter. The Flexter is taking on the Ficklers. All right, Mick Mikey, thank you very much. Appreciate you. You're part of what makes Wisconsin great.
Take care.
All right, thank you so much. Hour number two, straight ahead on the Civic Media Ready Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Two former secretaries of state have told CBS News they're pleased a ceasefire has begun in Gaza, but now begins the hard work of maintaining it. Hillary Clinton was in President Obama's cabinet.
It's a really significant first step, and I really commend President Trump.
Condoleezza Rice led the State Department under President George W. Bush.
This is a broader coalition of states that have an interest and have a lot at stake here.
19 people are missing and feared dead in a massive explosion at a munitions plant 60 miles southwest of Nashville. Humphreys County Sheriff Chris Davis.
We got a very big investigation. This is not going to be something that we're going to be like a car wreck or something like that, that we're just going to clean up the debris and leave. We're going to probably be here for a couple few days.
CBS News has confirmed the Trump administration has begun notifying federal employees at Treasury, DHS, and HHS that they're being fired. CBS